Welcome to Travel Market Life, your companion for industry insights and professional business development. Travel Market Life. Join us by webcast, video or podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hoteliers Voice Season 4. In this episode, we're going to be talking about company culture, attracting talent and managing staff shortages with Florian Hepp, Director of Employer Branding for Central Europe Marriott. Florian started his career as a trainee at Marriott International before working at Westin Hotels and Sofitel Luxury Hotels and Resorts. He's going to be speaking at the 21st International Hotel Technology Forum in Barcelona, looking at attracting talent and managing staff shortages. So today, we're going to get a bit more insight into some of the plans that he's put into place and what are the key aspects for managing staff today.
Travel Market Life.
Joining me now is Florian Hepp, Director of Employer Branding at Central Europe Marriott. Florian, thanks ever so much for joining us today. So really to dive straight in with you and looking at this idea of company culture and the challenges of recruitment within hospitality industry, what sort of roles are the most challenging to recruit for at the moment?
Hey, Ryan, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me today, and thank you for the invitation. It's actually a good question because that is what we think about, actually every day. Where are the, dominant challenges that we are facing? And I have to say this very much depends on several factors. So sometimes it's location, sometimes it's the labor markets, looking at different countries or specific cities. It's about the intensity, of our competition, the internal setup of hotels. But if you look back 10 years, for example, we see a 54% reduction in new apprenticeship contracts when it comes to culinary. So this actually explains where we really see challenges. So in hospitality and gastronomy, roles that involve special skills or demanding work environments are really challenging to recruit for, I would say.
Is this because, there's not the investment from businesses themselves to set up some of these apprenticeships, or is it because perhaps the colleges aren't making that career as attractive of an industry to actually enter at this point?
Absolutely. I think that's really one point which is important to mention. It needs much more positive communication around these specific jobs, but it's always a question of image. So, and this image is sometimes self-made. If we look back, to the 90s, it was not the case that everybody in the kitchen was treated well. It's a very demanding work environment. It is loud. It is hot. You have sometimes difficult working hours. So it's a lot about doing a proper communication around this specific job pool or this specific area of tasks.
I've been having numerous conversations across travel and hospitality industry, and obviously staff shortages is a big issue, and apprenticeships keeps coming up as one of the solutions that we need to look forward to. Over the last 15, 20 years, a big push is that we want to encourage people to extend their academic life and go to university. And obviously that's putting off people from doing these more vocational, more manual led sort of jobs. And working across Europe, where are you particularly seeing a special difficulty getting people into either these trainee or these more vocational roles?
I would say, so I'm focused on Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, which in our case defines the area of being Central Europe. And looking at this region, it's very difficult in Germany and Austria specifically. The labor market is quite tight, and the alternatives are very attractive as well. So I think these two reasons make it very difficult in Germany, but also in Austria as well.
Thank you. I can just imagine. And there are some fantastic hotel schools in and around that region that gives you a potential pool. Do you have opportunity to actually engage with some of those? And when you do speak to some of those students that are looking at graduating and looking at roles, what are their expectations from actual getting into a job in hospitality?
You know, that's actually interesting because I think that expectations of associates have tremendously changed within the last years. But on the other hand, I read an article just 2 days ago that if you look at Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, that, you know, last year we had the second highest willingness of change workplaces. It was just higher in 2019, where it was at 39%. Last year it was 37%. But I want to say that, you know, what's key for associates in 2023, if you look back on a full year last year, it's a lot about money. So 67% of respondents would say, I want to be paid fairly, which is totally understandable. That is a plus of 13% in comparison to 2022. But it's very interesting that work culture, company culture, made it into the top five last year, and that's for the very first time. So I think that, you know, work culture and alignment in terms of values is becoming more and more important, you know, talking about inclusive environments, talking about career development opportunities, talking about corporate social responsibility, work-life balance, all those things need to be more aligned with the personal goals and the personal desirements of younger associates.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it was always a struggle 20 years ago to try to get onto the next career opportunity, to be able to find those training programs, for companies to find L&D funds or budgets and for certain people to be up and ready for them. And I certainly remember, I think I had one opportunity every 6 months to take some sort of course. And I always felt that my, you know, my career is being held back as a consequence of not being able to have that learning and development. And as you say, if company culture is so key today, and you're saying that there's quite a bit that people expect from their employers, is it there much more just that professional sort of relationship you've got to put in place, or is there a lot more other considerations you need to make in and around someone's personal well-being as well, which I guess is you know, an additional consideration and quite a major consideration for employers today.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because Ryan, this survey also pointed out that, and that's interesting for you as well, 66% of those who responded to the survey said they are afraid of bad company cultures and they would not even join the company even they would offer a higher salary. So it is tremendously important, and it's not only on a, you know, professional level. It's really about creating a safe space for associates. They have different expectations, and I think there are different talking points, and we could like talk hours about corporate culture and what's important to the audience. But I think to build a great work culture, or let's say a culture within the teams, I would recommend to spend as much as one-to-one time with your associates. And what my thought on that is, and what I learned in a training beginning of the year, is what you need to do is you need to create a safe space for dangerous ideas for your associates, because, you know, safe spaces make them telling you the truth, make them telling you what they really expect, and that can be very different. You know, for example, someone who is 25 years old, this person would have a different desire than a 32 years old who maybe has his or her first child, wants to have more work-life balance, while the 25 years old wants to have more money. So what I think is that you really need to specifically look into what the expectations are individually and then properly react on that. But you mentioned, you know, personal stuff like mental health, wellness, and that is something that is increasingly important to associates, you know, besides leadership, flexibility in terms of working hours, personal fulfillment of meaning when you, you know, decide to do a specific job. But it's not only professional, it's very much about personal things.
And it's interesting because we've always seen HR, the team HR, being responsible for people. And then managers themselves, the line managers, you know, were meant to be the experts in their field, the specialists, the ones who are incredibly organized and were able to sort of put everybody in line. But it sounds to me like the first port of call is a line manager, and that line manager needs to be much more empathetic than they ever had to be. And it's a real key skill that is required over and above perhaps the expertise within the role today to make sure that, you know, that their teams are engaged and that they retain that talent. How much, when you're looking at these management leadership roles, is this a much more of a consideration of how they manage their teams and how they go about getting feedback?
You know, what I can share from within Marriott is that leadership development and training on being a good leader, like developing great leaders, is very high on the agenda. And I think globally, there is a good reason for that, because clear communication and transparency is becoming more and more important for associates, you know, because open communication and transparency from leadership is essential, because employees value, and that is maybe different in comparison to 10 years ago, employees value honestly the regular feedback. They want to know what are the clear expectations regarding their roles, responsibilities, what is the company's direction. I think they have the right and they want to be more involved in that. And if you look at the survey again that I shared in the when we just started our conversation, a poor management style, and that's interesting, would discourage 80% from applying for a new job. And that's why this invest is tremendously important. And you are right when you say that it's not about HR only. You know, they can provide you with a proper framework, but it's about every individual manager taking care of the associates in their team, having the one-to-ones that I mentioned before, or, you know, offering the safe space for dangerous ideas or for telling the truth or for being very open with what you think. And not only about what do you face, what kind of challenges do you currently face in terms of your job, but much more about what challenges do you face personally. Is there something I can support with? You know, it's much more about being closer to each other than it was 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. I think it was different for my dad, for example, when he was a young associate. He had very different expectations towards his employer than I would have it today. But not only towards my employer, also towards my managers that are, you know, that guide me through my career, that support me in my career. I see them much more as coaches and mentors, while it was superiors decades ago. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, absolutely. Yes. I mean, you know, we already know that, you know, the newer generations, particularly from millennials, are likely to change career multiple times during their working life. And, you know, they're going to change company, whereas certainly in the past, people would get a job and no one would look to stay at that company for their entire life. So there has been a major shakeup, and we have to be obviously realistic and understand, you know, expectations that of ourselves, of individuals, and what role you can play at that point in time. Now, obviously, you've made a point about Marriott and it being an international company, and say being such a large business, you got to make sure that there's some sort of standard, I guess, across the company and what people can expect. Now, within the Central European region, which you look after, how do you share best practice then between your teams and try to help you you move that sort of employer branding in the right direction?
I'm actually coming back to one important point that I just mentioned. It's all about communication and transparency. You know, we have a huge intranet at Marriott called MGS, which is our Marriott Global Source. And this is an online space where you can lock in with your personal Marriott credentials. And this is a source of sharing best practices, a source of inspiration, a source of finding the right contact to get answers on your questions. It's a lot about regular update calls within the teams. We do not sit in the same city. We do not sit, you know, in the same hotel, not even in the same country. So it's a lot about communications and being transparent with your ideas. And what I have to say that all my superiors that I had within the last 2, 3, 4 years, they were very much into having regular calls with teams, asking for, please share your best practices. And on the other hand, and that is something very nice about Marriott, is that they create several task forces from the hotels that come together in different groups that are very diverse, working on best practices from their hotels. And those best practices from several hotels are shared among other hotels. So I think that the thought of sharing best practices through a clear communication, through the intranet, through update calls, through a strong focus on exchange, really helps everybody to actually become better in what they do on property. And I think that especially the intranet, where you make all information available in a very simple way, is one of the greatest points that I see in terms of exchanging ideas and knowledge within the company.
The benefits of technology that's accessible to all, absolutely. Now, showcasing company culture and values is incredibly important, like you said. Beyond the four walls of Marriott and your intranet, what ways do you go to try to communicate those values more externally to attract the right talent?
You know, I have a marketing background, a sales and marketing background. And if you look at employer branding, it is actually a combination of human resources, people, talent, but also marketing. And there is a strong focus on marketing. So when it comes to communication, we do use digital, but also analog channels, but digital is huge. Attracting talent, you know, is a lot about making associates speak up, allowing them to become brand ambassadors. Because, I mean, C-level can tell you how great it is to work at Marriott. C-level can tell you that Marriott is the best employer in the world. But I think, and my team is convinced, that it is even more authentic, it is even more credible when associates share their very personal stories about their experiences with Marriott. And it doesn't need to be positive always, you know. It can be critical. It just needs to be authentic. You need to be able to believe what the person is saying. And when you look at the younger audience and how they consume media, of course, they have created a kind of bullshit filter in their head. So if you only work with, you know, actors or actresses, when you work with stock images or stock videos, they will realize that you are not telling the truth. You are bullshitting at them. And that's why capturing true and authentic stories becomes more and more important. And what we have done at Marriott is we are conducting actually regularly content creation tours where we are touring our hotels in Central Europe, seeing our associates and capturing their very personal stories about the purpose. So why did you decide to do hospitality? Why do you enjoy being a chef? Why did you decide to work for Marriott or a specific brand? We also capture, like, you know, wow stories, for example. If you share stories that include acts of kindness or compassion, stories that showcase this very specific feelings that people experience at work, that can evoke feelings of warmth and empathy. It is showcasing all the unexpected connection that you can make in the hospitality industry. And I can share only one story with you. There is one doorman working in Vienna. And that story was told to me during my first content creation tour, Ryan. Joseph is working for the Bristol, a luxury collection hotel in Vienna. And he was visited by, or they were visited by Lionel Richie a few years ago. And there was a woman in the hotel, and she was a big fan of Lionel Richie. So she was asking the management, can I please welcome Lionel Richie to the hotel? Can I please guide him to the room? And she was so tremendously nervous about doing that, that she went to the elevator with Lionel Richie, including the security guards. And she was just, you know, turning around for a second while Lionel Richie was in the elevator. The doors of the elevator are closing. Lionel Richie goes up to the fourth floor, coming back just a few seconds later, the door is opening. And she was so nervous because she lost Lionel Richie in the hotel. The doors are opening and Lionel Richie starts singing for her. Hello, is it me you're looking for? I mean, can you imagine how emotional this experience was for the woman who was
serenaded?
A fan of him?
Yes.
And I think sharing this kind of stories, this kind of experiences can be so inspiring. And that is why we do exactly that in different formats, you know, in different design formats. So we are capturing different stories. On the one hand, it is asking for the purpose. On the other hand, it's all those specific wow stories that people experience in the industry. And on the other hand, we also showcase skills, you know, transformation and growth. So we show bartenders, we show chefs and, you know, how they create their meals, how creative they are. Because what we want to do is we want to showcase associates and want to create a bubble from that people want to be part of. So that is the idea behind. And it's all about communicating how amazing the talents, the experiences, and the purpose is why people work in our industry and why people work for our brands at Marriott. Does it make sense for you, Ryan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's obviously, you know, so many dynamics to that. And that creates, you know, a wonderful three-dimensional view of life within a business and what they can expect. And with so many different roles within a hotel, it is important to show, you know, the different viewpoints and the opportunities that are available. Now, when it comes, final question for you here, whilst we've got time, Florian, is that when it comes to actually getting that word out there, the channels have changed. LinkedIn, TikTok's a big one, Instagram, Facebook. Where do you really look to concentrate your efforts, and where do you see the biggest impact being made right now for employer branding and attracting the right people for Marriott?
It really depends on the target audience, but even if I talk to the Gen Zers of my team, I mean, they still say Instagram is the main channel, while they are very much into TikTok. LinkedIn is becoming more and more important when it comes to building up a corporate influencer program. So I would say those three channels are the major channels we are looking at: Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn. And through those three different channels, you can also reach different target audiences.
Excellent. Florian, thank you ever so much for your time today and for all those insights and sharing your experiences with us.
Of course. Thank you so much, Ryan, and hope to see you in Barcelona.
So that was Florian Hepp, Director of Employer Branding, Central Europe Marriott, who will be speaking at the 21st International Hotel Technology Forum in Barcelona. Thanks for listening to this episode of Hoteliers Voice, part of Season 4. Look out for some of the others, and don't forget to check out our monthly review shows for travel and hospitality. I'm your host, Ryan Haynes. Thanks for listening, and ciao for now.
For more, go to Travel Market Life. The Music Sensation by Zach Nelson is reproduced under license from Storyblocks. Travel Market Life is a Haynes Marcoms digital marketing agency production, serving the travel and technology industries.